Thank you, Maggie, and thank you all for coming to an early morning session. I'll be talking to you today about really my experiences and what I have learned about trying to improve access to medicines by strengthening supply chain, doing public health logistics. And I have no relationships to disclose. We all know that unstable medical supply systems cause all sorts of problems in medical supply. It can result in shortages, which can result in having to do emergency orders to get more medicines in. Worst possible case is if a medicine is gone for a long period of time, patients can develop resistance to certain medicines and need to substitute others. Shortages in the supply chain mean that clinicians might have to use alternative treatments for patients, some of which can be either more complicated or suboptimal because they're difficult to tolerate. Excesses or surpluses in the supply chain can result in quantities of expired medicines that take up a lot of space in your warehouse. The fuller the warehouse is, the harder it is for the logistics staff to do their work. It's very hard to do a physical inventory when every shelf is full. I've done it. And then somebody has to pay the cost of destruction for those expired medicines. Different patients need different medical supplies. And different projects operate on a different scale. So you can have an entire hospital that needs a full warehouse full of supplies, and you can have a small sexually transmitted infection clinic that might need fewer than 20 different products that you can keep in one little cabinet. What I have seen, and what tends to happen in medical supply, is that there are two separate groups working. You have the medical team who are working inside the facility, and then when they need more supplies, they send a request over to the logistics side. Now, in the public sector, usually that request is ending up going to something like the regional warehouse, and the regional warehouse processes it and sends the supplies back, but they might send the information on to the central warehouse. But at this point, all we know is logistical data. So it's what was used last month or last year, and it's what's being sent down. And any medical knowledge about why these medicines were used is completely gone. It's completely separate. In the NGO sector, it's a little bit different because you often have both a medical team and a logistics team working at the facility level. So the medical team does a forecast of what they need. They hand it off to the logistics team. And then usually what happens is that the two different sides pass the information up their own chains. So the medics at the facility talk to the medics at the central level, possibly talking to the regional level if you have one. And the logisticians at the facility talk to the logisticians at the central level. And it's two different columns of information. Oops, sorry. Now, what does usually happen in an NGO project is that luckily the head people at the central level on the medical team and the logistics team are in the same place and often in the same building, and occasionally they do talk to each other, but they have two different sources of information. And the thing is, they're usually speaking a different language. So as example, I take the use of the word consumption. Oh, somebody knows this. At the facility level, consumption means medicines that were taken by an inpatient or supplies that were used on an inpatient, medicines that were given to an outpatient, or possibly medicines that left the pharmacy. On the logistics side, it's something that left the storeroom. Okay? And that's not the same thing, because just because it left the storeroom, we don't know that it got to the patient. And I will go back and say that with the given to the outpatient category, just because I hand you the medicines, I don't know that you took them and didn't use them to treat your 5-year-old child. Moving up on the medical side, consumption means used by patients. And on the logistics side, it means left the warehouse. So what I've been doing for the past 6 or 7 years is trying to work to fill this gap and to get these two groups to talk to each other. And what I do is public health logistics. I sit in the middle of these two groups, and I talk to both of them. And what I do is I talk to the medical team, and I get information like dispensing records, health statistics, I look at morbidity patterns and standard treatment guidelines, and I look at service statistics. how many patients is it possible that a nurse could treat in a four-hour period? And does the quantity, the number, does the morbidity data support that? Could they really have diagnosed that many patients in that time? Meanwhile, I go talk to the logistics, and I find out how much stock they have, what their current stock levels are, what they received, what they issued, and how much what they had for stock losses, what was expired, what was damaged. So what I'm really doing is I'm using multiple sources of information and I'm triangulating. I'm cross-checking everything with some, not everything, I cross-check as much information as I can with another source of data. So take, for example, the case of malaria. I can ask the medical team how many cases of malaria they diagnosed. I can ask the warehouse or the storeroom how many treatments of the ACT or the malaria treatment they shipped to the clinic. And I can see whether there is a correspondence. Now, I'm never going to get a perfect match, and I'm not expecting a perfect match. But if I'm within, you know, some amount that makes sense, I'm happy. But then I can also start looking at service statistics. How many patients could a doctor have seen on that day? How many lab tests does the lab say, how many malaria tests does the lab say that they completed? Could they have done that many in an 8-hour time period? Do the lab supplies support that? And by looking at all of this information at the same time, not for every single medicine, but for certain categories of medicines, I can get an idea of whether or not what is being used makes sense, and I can also get an idea for how much we should order for the next month. So a little bit more about my data sources. I've already mentioned the morbidity data, so what are the disease, what are the reported diseases, and what are your standard treatment guidelines? I've been known to look at patient regimens. So if a patient is on a tuberculosis treatment, they have a fixed regimen for a period of time, and that makes it very easy to predict what they're going to need in the future. Attendance patterns. This happens a lot with in HIV/AIDS cases. Patients who might come once a month for their medicines, but they also might be patients who've been on treatment for 2 years and they only come once every 3 months. Well, that's going to do very strange things to what your ordering patterns are if the patients are picking up a 3-month supply in January and not coming back until April. I've been known to review patient charts, to go through patient charts to find out what patients were actually using. I've been known to count the empty vials coming out of the OR and using that as an indicator of what they need to order. Logistics I've already covered. One other aspect of the service is that if you have two clinics or two facilities that are providing similar treatment, you can always compare between facilities to see if their usage patterns are similar. So where have I done this? In an antiretroviral HIV/AIDS project in the Congo, with the help of two national staff nurses, I reviewed 710 patient charts, pulled out all of the drug regimens and tallied them so that I knew exactly what antiretroviral medicines we had to order. I built a database to estimate future drug need for tuberculosis and multi-drug resistant tuberculosis patients in Peru. In Haiti, I reviewed 1 week of patient charts and pulled out the use of all medical supplies in an emergency obstetrics hospital. Oh, and I also, in that study, pulled the doctor's prescriptions for their outpatients and analyzed what each doctor was prescribing and found one doctor, we had these pre-printed little prescription forms, and I had one doctor who, for every patient, was prescribing 6 of the 7 medicines on the prescription form. And somebody decided maybe they were going to have a little talk with him. And then I've done the pharmaceutical supply chain analysis in public, private, and NGO sectors in India, Kenya, Morocco, Pakistan, and Uganda. Now, I want to say something at this point about why I call this public health logistics. And the reason why I say this has to be public health logistics is exactly because I'm looking at patient medical records. And that's not something that you necessarily want a logistician to be doing because it requires some modicum of decorum and discretion. Now, for the most part, I've always been working at the facility level, but I think that this would scale fairly easily. So here was the old picture of the public sector, And here is me added in as the public health logistician talking between the two groups. And what you would do, what I would do to scale this, if given, is I would add a public health logistician at the regional level. And that person would be responsible for aggregating data from all of the facilities, both the health status, the health statistics, and the logistics information. And then they would pass that information up to the central level. And what you're then going to get is you have somebody sitting here at the central level who can link the logistics information with the medical information, which means that you have both pieces of information you need for project planning and for planning how your health services are going to work. I don't think that this would take a ridiculous quantity of resources. At the central level, you would need one or a small number of public health logisticians. You would need one at the regional level. And for the facility, it's going to depend on the size of the program and what the current workload is. A hospital would probably need their own public health logistician, but a small clinic, there might be somebody on staff who you could train to do some of this work and do some of this reporting for you. And the cost, I think that the incremental cost for adding a small staff of public health logisticians compared with what a country spends on its annual drug budget and the benefits that you far outweigh the cost outweighs, or the benefits outweigh the cost. That's what I'm trying to say. So just in summary, the work that I've done in public health logistics can strengthen medical delivery by improving the supply systems. I'm adding additional information that improves the forecasting and quantification, and it provides a way to both monitor and evaluate the medical supply needs and usages. Thank you.